fit, active, healthy, happy, enjoying the prime of your life. Looking out for your health and wellness, this is Health Talk with Fred Lowry from Lowry Drug in Statesville. Call now to ask Fred your health questions, 704-873-1400, 704-873-1400. You can also visit Fred at his store, conveniently located on Hartness Road in Statesville.
Good afternoon. This is April the 4th on Friday afternoon. This is Fred Lowry, pharmacist and doctor of natural medicine, and this is Health Talk. We are live today. We'll be taking calls. The topic of the day is going to be vaccinations, and quite a vast subject, but we're going to hit a few of the high spots perhaps. This program is intended to share knowledge and information based on my research and experience. It is not intended to offer individual advice and does not replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare provider. Your daily choices have more to do with your health than anyone in the healthcare field, and my hopes are that this show will empower you with knowledge to take a more proactive approach to your health. We are streaming live. There is now a WSIC news app available on iOS and Google Play. If you like, the phone number is displayed here, 844-STUDIO-4 or 844-788-3464, 788-3464. I'm here with my producer, Joe Berg. Glad you're here today.
Good to be here.
Yeah. So vaccines are coming in the category of, with any quote-unquote healthcare decision, you must make a decision for yourself. And I do recommend people do their own research, but I will say that this particular subject is quite vast, and maybe there are obstacles there because of that. And I've had people tell me that they have to, because they don't have the background, they kind of have to rely on their healthcare provider. So there's the problem with that, too, is the education, perhaps, of that healthcare provider, because we've all grown up with the notion that vaccines are, it's kind of the flagship of modern pharmaceutical medicine. And it's one of those things that you just don't question. It's just like something known as settled science. It's also one of those topics that are subjects that it resides, I think, in a place in your brain that you just don't question. So the problem with that is that we're not critically looking at these medical interventions. And I think it's also a mistake in the way you think about things. So if you were just to say, okay, there is a category of products that we collectively assume are safe and effective, but then each product has its own uniqueness. And so let's just use anti-inflammatories as an example. Anti-inflammatories are good because they relieve pain. Therefore, all anti-inflammatories are good. And yet we know that there's been some that cause very serious problems, were withdrawn from the market. Vioxx comes to mind on that. So, and as we're talking too, I would encourage you to get a piece of a pen and a piece of paper, because I'm going to give you some resources to look up as we're talking about this, and that we'll be able to get into more detail about some of the things we're going to discuss. So the question is, are products safe and effective? Do they harm people, and are they effective? So we must answer this question on a per-product basis, not just assuming a category. And, of course, the standard message is vaccines prevent disease. They're good. And the question we would say, well, is that always true? Can vaccines create disease? And of course, the answer to that is yes, they can. We've seen that happen, particularly recently, in the last few years. So when we're looking at absolute statements, You may hear that vaccines are safe, they're effective, they're proven, this and that, but all those are absolute statements, and I think that's problematic in itself. In the 1980s, we had vaccines coming along, and there were some people that had changing opinions about that as well, you know, because one of the things that happened in that time frame was vaccine manufacturers were not going to make vaccines anymore for fear of liability issues. So the government came up with making them actually not liable and came up with their own program. And I'm looking for the date here. That actually happened in 1986, which is kind of curious, and it does go back to answering the question, are they always safe? Well, apparently they weren't, and that still, I think, applies. So now we have that the vaccine adverse reaction database, primarily related for childhood vaccines, but we did see a lot of reports for the more recent C19 intervention. And so, you know, it kind of begs the question, you know, for the safety and the efficacy, because we saw most recently that those things did not apply. And that kind of shook, I think, a lot of people's faith in medicine. And it was became an issue with people that now they have vaccine remorse. They wish they hadn't done it. And we don't really need to go into all the details of how this happened, because all of us actually lived it. But you know, you would say, okay, well, you beg the question, are they safe? And the answer would be not absolutely. And then the other side of the coin might be, well, you know, vaccines have kept us safe from disease. And is, you know, is that true? Is it not true? So here's some resources for you. As we start out, we're going to talk more about this. One of them is the National Vaccine Information Center. I think it's NVIC.org. One of the founders was Barbara Lowe Fisher, who had a vaccine-injured child in, I think, maybe the 80s. And so she this is a place where you can get a lot of information. There's a website called thinktwice.com, and it has quite a few scientific papers, over 400 vital scientific papers that people need to be aware of, because there are studies that might show vaccines are safe and effective, but these are some that maybe are contrary to that. So that would be something to look at. Also, Mercola.com, and there's a lot of vaccine-related things there. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more information. This is Health Talk, and this is Fred Lowry.
More Health Talk with Fred Lowry from Lowry Drug Company is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. It's Health Talk with Fred Lowry from Lowry Drug Company on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back. This is Fred Lowry, and this is Health Talk. Lowry Drug now offers a infrared sauna by HealthMate. If you've ever been in an infrared sauna, it's quite relaxing, a great way to detoxify, good for your cardiovascular system, your immune system, your skin, great for joint pain, and it actually helps detox heavy metals. I've had one in my home for over 20 years, I think, and I enjoy spending time in that a couple of days a week. Yeah, so if you're looking for a great wellness tool, come by the store and look at these HealthMate saunas. They're full spectrum, really great product. So we're talking about vaccinations a little bit in a bit of a general way, and looking at vaccine resources. One of them that might surprise you is the publication Epoch Times, and they've had they have a pretty good health reporting department, and there was a revisiting historical vaccines series in there. I think you can actually get that publication maybe for 6 months for $1 in one of those initial offers. But I find it to be a good paper and has a lot of good information, a lot of it's more like the newspaper of the past in some ways, in that it does have the recipes and other things. The thing that it doesn't have is sports, and I know, Joe, you'll be disappointed in that, but since I don't follow sports at all, I don't care, you know. So that's a good source. Two very good books. There's an author, Forrest Moretti, and he wrote one book about the moth and the iron lung. And that book talks about a very interesting history of bringing silk moths into this country. And because they escaped and were destroying the plant life, they were having to come up with pesticides for that. And some of these pesticides contained arsenic and mercury. And then the iron lung, the development of that related to polio. And so more on that later, but the fact of the matter is that heavy metal poisoning can actually cause polio like symptoms. Very well done book. The other one is called Crooked, and the subtitle is Man-Made Diseases Explained. And that takes you through the notice of nerve-related things related to the face, and Bell's palsy might be an example of that in people that have neurological injury from whatever, which could be heavy metals or other things, and even vaccinations. One side of their face might be lower than the other, you know, in terms of their smile. So you have a little bit of a crooked smile, and you see that in some children, some adults. But it takes you through the reasons for that and the possibilities, which is two very well done books, I would say. So if you're interested in more information about that, those are very good reads. The other one book that I might mention is done by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, and her book is Dissolving Illusions, subtitle Diseases, Vaccines, and Forgotten History. And this lady was a physician, I believe a nephrologist, that when people were admitted into the hospital, they would automatically give them certain vaccinations. And even though she didn't order the vaccinations, that they would put her name on the order because she happened to be the admitting physician. Which, it brings up another point. And one of the things of medical convenience is if you happen to be there, let's go ahead and give these other treatments. And in my opinion, that's a very poor choice because, you know, if you're going in the hospital and you're sick, do you really need to get another medical intervention that has substance ingredients that are toxic? Now, that might be a bold statement for some of you, but if you If you ever take the time to look at the ingredients, which most people don't, and most healthcare providers don't, then you'll see that there are certainly toxic ingredients in these products. You know, which kind of begs the question is that, so you want to improve your health by injecting things that have that are chemicals, basically, that are negative for you. It goes against logic in some way, except with the promise of, well, you won't get this disease. And that's not really true either. So, you know, vaccines, and if you get into the history of this, and I have spent a lot of time looking at this, a lot of times vaccines come out and for a particular disease, but they were coming out when the disease rates are actually falling. And so that comes into the category of vaccine development, and there's cycles with illness and disease. So something comes into a group, you know, you get natural immunity from it, and things go on. But you know, the problem with some of these vaccinations is that you're basically contaminating the individual with animal products, viruses, diseases, and spores that you really don't even actually know what you're getting. So this particular doctor went through the process of leaving in some way the medical profession because she was seeing problems with these patients of hers that had vaccinations, and she started reporting them. And many of her colleagues wouldn't report what they saw, but they would give them to her and she would report it. And then she ended up getting a call from one of the people at the CDC with the question of what happened to you to make you think that all these vaccinations are causing so many problems. And the answer that she gave was, what happened to me is that I've been watching it happen. And that, you know, came to my attention as well, as in earlier days of working with individuals and parents with vaccine-injured children. You know, I mean, it's pretty clear that, you know, this child was injured and the vaccine did that. And you can see that, you know, if you go to VAERS, the federal government's vaccine injury database, you know, this does happen. And so we've all also experienced and known people related, most of us, that have seen these type of situations with the C-19 product. So, you know, and the problem is that the agencies knew it, the manufacturers knew it, the powers that be knew all these things, but they didn't really protect us. You know, they're apparently don't look at that as their particular job. So the injuries were being swept under the carpet. You know, they were hiding as much as they could. You know, and then at some point in time, you realize that, you know, all this, you know, these organizations are corrupt. It's quite obvious, I think, to many of us, and I think this made people, it kind of opened their eyes, I think, to the world of pharmaceutics that we didn't have. So the this doctor, Dr. Humphreys, in her opinion, said, well, the polio vaccine doesn't work, you know, and that's one of those things that you would say, you know, the big arguments would be, well, what happened to polio? You know, because polio was such a devastating thing that happened, and there were people that, you know, that were paralyzed and they couldn't, you know, because the illness paralyzed the lungs and the diaphragm, and they couldn't breathe. So they came up with this device, this this iron lung to help these children be able to breathe. So the statement would be here is that the polio vaccine doesn't work because it isn't actually caused by an infectious virus. Interesting. Yes, the virus is there, but it happens to be commensal, which means that it's just part of the system. And they've shown that with in some cases with some studies, but that the polio is actually caused by toxins, and that the viral part of that is not really the main thing. Now, that's, for a lot of people, that would be such a shocking thing. But if you go back and read the Moth and the Iron Lung, you'll find that one of the things that happened was a lot of times, the polio struck more males than females, and during that time, young boys in the summertime, that's when they contracted the disease. That's when they were outside. That's when they were out eating apples and things that had been sprayed by with chemicals, etc. We're going to talk more about that big subject. This is Fred Lowry, and this is Health Talk.
We'll be back with more of Health Talk with your host, Fred Lowry, right after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Health Talk continues now. Here's your host, Fred Lowry, on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to Health Talk. This is Fred Lowry, pharmacist and doctor of natural medicine. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead. Are you there? Did we lose him, Joe?
Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah.
Okay, got you. Okay, you had a question.
Yes, sir. And I'm trying not to be political here, but given the situation in our country around the Southwest region, do you see a resurgence of the diseases that we here in America have long since eradicated?
Well, I think it's certainly possible, and I'm not sure on the complete eradication, but certainly when you have the number of populations coming in, there is potential for all kinds of problems, which we've already seen. And yes, there have been reports of resurgence of certain illnesses. The question would be how you prevent that. And of course, historically, anytime another people from other countries, let's just say when Spaniards came to the Americas, they brought with them disease and all kinds of other terrible things. So it's certainly a possibility. The question is, what are we going to do about that, I guess? I don't know if you have any other thoughts on that, obviously, but I'm okay with political, but we just have so many problems. It's hard to nail them down, and with when you have the COVID-19 vaccination that was clearly problematic. It was known to be problematic, and we're still using it today. Where's the protection from such things that we perpetrated on ourselves?
Well, I was just wondering, sir, what do you think the World Health Organization is going to do about all the what is going on in a certain area?
The World Health Organization is completely corrupt, and they want to be in charge of all the things in the world in terms of controlling disease, which has already been, at least at the level that I've seen, a disaster. They're in the vaccine industry. That's part of their business. They own patents for it. So any organization like that has to perpetuate its own value. They want a treaty with all the governments to be able to be in complete control, giving up the sovereignty of every nation. They're not the answer. So I hope you're not looking to them for that.
No, sir. I agree. And one last question, if you don't mind. I don't mean to take up your time here on your show. What do you see another pandemic possibly as a control of the people? Do you see it coming our way?
Well, I think it will come. I don't know, you know, as part of the program. You know, they've already had drills for and planning for quote unquote disease X, whatever that might happen to be. But it's certainly, you know, and what will happen is people will fall in line in many of the ways that they did with the COVID thing. You know,
it's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to happen, and what will happen is that they'll make it so that it makes it very difficult to refuse the intervention. You know, they did that by so many ways, you know, by marketing, promotion, coercion, the loss of your job, the loss of your education, the loss of all kinds of things, and the emotional manipulation that, you know, you're going to take care of people. And so the press gets into blaming disease on the ones that didn't go along with it. And that's not true at all. You know, so and it's now obvious to everybody, I think, or more obvious at least to the ones that are paying attention, you know, that the intervention didn't work. It caused problems. It killed people. You know, it's still, you know, they were recommending it for children that didn't need it. They recommended it in vaccinated women that were pregnant and didn't need it. Clearly, it was, you know, everybody thought, or some people thought that was the right thing to do. But it did not even follow the recommendations or the safety profiles. You know, it wasn't approved for those things until later, but there was no evidence to say that it was safe, and there was no risk or extremely low risk to children. But now a lot of the problems that we're seeing with long COVID, vaccine injury, you know, from people, or all kinds of things, you know, things that people don't even recognize as being part of that picture. Things as simple as tinnitus, debilitating tinnitus, you know, people ringing in the ears, anxiety, just all kinds of things that are related to this, that the majority of the medical population probably won't connect because they don't understand the mechanisms for the pieces of that puzzle. So it's a big subject, as you can tell.
I hope the good majority of Ardo County are listening, as they should. Thank you for your time, sir.
Okay. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
So that opened up, a little bit of a can of worms. And for those of you that are listening, in early 2020, I was fairly active in looking into this issue, and was extremely concerned and, I would say, afraid of what was going to come. And primarily that was because I understood this, or tried to understand, or the possibility of the gain-of-function research and related to that. And so I had predicted, and it wasn't really a prediction, yes, long before we had COVID here, or we thought we had COVID, I had said that we were going to, it was coming. You know, it was just a matter of time that we were going to have this. Part of that was some of connections that I have with people in other countries and talking with them about it. And then I started looking into the mechanisms and the pharmaceutical products for the platform for that messenger RNA type product, and was vocally against that product, and too much flack that I got related from other healthcare people. And, you know, Fred, you got to do the right thing. People listen to you. You know, you got to tell them to get the shot. It's the right thing to do. And I'm going, you know, it's not. Yeah, it. You know, I looked at how they were making them. I looked at that platform that was used for cancer treatments, and so I had some understanding of that particular product, and that led me down that rabbit hole to say, you know, this is not a good thing. And some people listen. Some people, you know, some people had to do the shot to keep their job or whatever. Some, you know, so it's just one of those things that was unfortunate. And you know, that shot is on, as of this year, the childhood vaccination schedule. And so I think that's another topic, but there are a lot of young parents out there that are scratching their head and going, you know, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. And they don't tell many people because of, you know, what they may hear from others. You know, they're maybe getting negative sides from family members. But I think these individuals are critical thinkers. I think they're looking at the real issues and just not accepting the whole picture as being, you know, we should all do all of this. And it's also because they've seen the problems. So it's a very interesting subject. And I'm sure I'm probably might hear some negative input related to this particular program. I'm okay with that, and actually I welcome it if anybody thinks I'm talking about the wrong thing. I'll be glad to explain it to them in a reasonable manner. Stay tuned. This is Fred Lowry, and this is Health Talk.
Stay with us. We'll return with more of Fred Lowry and Health Talk in just a moment on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. It's Health Talk with Fred Lowry from Lowry Drug Company on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back. This is Fred Lowry, pharmacist and doctor of natural medicine. This is Health Talk. We were starting to talk a little bit about the polio virus. One of the things I want to back up just a little bit, and one of the things that we that I ran across was that, you know, that we're all about creating antibodies, and our immune system is nothing short of amazing in many ways. But it brings to mind, you know, you really don't need antibodies to fight an illness. And that would shock people. In some ways, antibodies are actually created after you get the illness. But there were children that had a immune deficiency disorder and lacked the ability to make any antibodies. And they contracted measles, and yet they fully recovered from the measles without antibodies. So it's just one of those things, too, that, you know, we think about. That's the thing that we've heard so many times. But in that case, it wasn't true that you had to have them to fight the illness. So there's many aspects to that, and it can be quite complicated. But going back to the polio thing, so we, you know, the way they made that product, there's actually documentaries on how they made the polio virus, and they kept growing it in different medias, and it was shockingly crude the way they made it. And so one of the ways that they, you know, would try to prove that, you know, this polio virus existed was, you know, once they got it, they would give it to animals, test animals, and to see if they would get the virus, because obviously that makes sense. You know, if you can isolate the virus and then grow it or perpetuate it, however, and give it to another animal, then they should get the illness. And that didn't happen. And in the monkeys that they were using, until they actually injected the matter into the brains of these animals, and then they could actually paralyze them. That kind of seems a little counterproductive to me. So the things that can cause paralysis, we're talking about paralysis of nerves that might impact any part of the body, including the diaphragm, includes medications that included mercury, arsenic, lead, and some vaccinations. And so even back in the early 1900s, many of the teething products contained heavy metals. So, you know, if you keep giving a child, an infant, things that are heavy metals, those definitely cause nerve damage, particularly mercury, because it can destroy the myelin sheath of the nerves. And then they don't work as well. Think about that. It's like being the insulation. So some people would say that there are no viruses out there. I'm not a virus denier. I do think that there are things known as exosomes, where the body is clearing debris from the body, and those things are also act as things that communicate. And yes, information in the body, and yes, you could have symptoms related to that. But you know, the question is, you know, is that part of the program? Did that cause the illness, or was it some toxicity? You know, there's plenty of discussion back and forth about that. But the problem is that when you give, as an example, a lot of these viruses are RNA-type viruses, and so they have genetic shifts. The cold virus, you know, you can't make a vaccination against the cold because it's changing all the time. The flu virus changes all the times. The measles virus has had a genetic shift. So one of the things that happens is that many of these vaccinations do target a particular virus or whatever, but they can also cause the virus to shift to other things. So, and it's not just that it might shift, but there, let's just say you can cover 10 viruses, and I don't remember exactly, the human papillomavirus as an example is one. But that there's also maybe 50 more human papillomaviruses. And the same thing's true with a lot of these other things. So when you're given these products, you can get a shift in the genetic material of these viruses. I had to take a sip of water there, pardon me. There was a statement, the infamous Anthony Fauci, who communicated disinformation quite consistently. In a 2003 paper, he said or confessed that even the flu shots don't work, and they've done a poor job with these. And obviously, he also later said the COVID vaccines have the same problem because they're not getting immunity where immunity is required in the lungs. And so, you know, here's another thing. You know, your immunity that you needed what needed to be in the lungs, not in the muscle tissue or the cardiovascular system. It's just, you know, it gets down to very very disheartening thing about how the industry is, you know, in terms of selling these products. So the other thing that has happened is, you know, they changed the definition because a experimental modified RNA gene therapy is not a vaccine. You know, we think about vaccines in terms of being exposed to a illness through a pharmaceutical intervention to allow your body, your immune system to wake up and be able to fight that if you ever come across it. Certainly, that was a problem. And they also had, one of the problems is that a lot of times the tests are done, or the studies are done with one product and then they manufacture another product. This was pretty clear in that they, with the COVID-19 shot, they had a lot of different manufacturers, and there were quite a bit of lot variation and hot lots, so to speak, that were problematic. So then you get in the manufacturing process of this. So there's all kinds of things out there that I don't know. You just kind of scratch your head at, and then what are you going to do about it? We've got I don't have a tremendous amount of time left, so I don't think I have time to get into the measles vaccination or some of these other things. But you know, some of this information is pretty important. You know, and then you might say, well, what do you do? You know, I think there's certainly a fear factor involved in this. People don't want to die. People don't want to suffer or get sick. But, you know, it really comes down to how you take care of yourself in many ways. And it doesn't mean you're not going to get sick. It's normal to get sick. You know, that means that your immune system is working. You know, just because you don't get sick doesn't necessarily mean that your immune system's healthy either. You know, it might be suppressed to the point that I've heard people just all of a sudden they get cancer, and it makes you know, it's baffling to them. But you know, all the things that I've talked about in terms of the basics of staying healthy become really important, and it comes to a point of action. You know, how are you going to take care of yourself? How are you going to live your life? You know, what foods are you going to eat? Are you going to keep ignoring the things that you can't see? Just because you can't see them. You know, when I tell you that you really need to get rid of this linoleic acid and seed oils and clean up your diet, there's a tremendous amount of information behind that, but it's not important to you because, you know, you're not really, it's nothing's wrong right now, maybe. But all of these things, you know, drinking quality water, eating quality food, is really important. And being on some type of occasional detoxification program. You know, I mean, we've got plenty of stuff out there to get rid of in our bodies. And the way your body works in a functional matter, you know, it requires nutrients. And you've got to get rid of the roadblocks that are problematic in your health. So think about that. try to make a plan, come up with an action plan to improve your health. This is a continuous process. So I wish you all the best. Stay tuned for Joe's program next. He's going to cover the sports. I will not be listening to that, but come see us at Lowry Drug. See you.
Serving you better than ever before. WSIC, Statesville. W290DK, Mooresville. W264CU, Statesville.